Hear the Lord saying that he is truly stirring up and tilling the ground. And he's causing the new life to come up, to spring up. This is a season of life that he's releasing to us. There's a real difference that I feel for this, for even this summer. There's a real difference as far as what God wants to do. And not only a deposit that was made, but a growth that he's bringing forth. He's causing us to awaken. Awaken to him and his spirit. In a new way for a new season. Wow. Well, you know, it's really hard to know what to do in a situation like this, so. I just feel like the Lord is happy. I just feel his joy. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for your worship. Appreciate it. Let's just give them a clap offering and the Lord a clap offering.
Miss Kathy has something to share, Don Norai's wife, and we want to give you the liberty to do that.
Okay, now this is nothing heavy, I promise. But I got a confession. I see angels. I've seen them ever since I was first saved. My first pastor, after he found out that I was seeing angels, said, just keep that on the down low. Not exactly those words because it was the 70s, but you get what I mean. But it was so much fun tonight because we were worshiping. And I could just see this cloud, okay? Try to picture it with me. Just white. And then another layer of white. And then another layer of white. And it just kept spiraling upward. All these angels bending down saying, "Woo! This is fun!" Just spiraling down, looking down. And, you know, sometimes my imagination runs away with me. I'm seeing all these angels just spiraling above this place. And listen, I really, you know, I'm not just making this up, okay? The angels gather when the saints worship. They get, the more their hearts are free and the more they open their hearts, the more the angels gather. And I could just see this, picture now. This part is just my imagination. I can see the angel boss going, "Where'd everybody go? Come on, we're supposed to be watching over this place." But they're all spiraling upward right here. And they go, "We'll be back soon, boss. Really, we promise." But I could just see that here tonight. And I just want to encourage you that your hearts are so pleasing to the Lord. He loves to see your hearts lifting up to him. He loves to reach down and touch your lives. And I know tonight I could feel him touching my life. And I know that he just loves to. So I'm really not kidding. I saw angels spiraling above this place. And you guys are just, you're a blessing in the heavenlies for all that you do.
Yes, amen. Thank you. I was seeing that vision also of the stirring and the clouds that were going up. It's amazing how the Lord shows things that are the same or similar. And just standing up here and not even knowing what to do because of his Holy Spirit and his angelic beings that are in this place. We're definitely in a good place tonight. We're in the right place at the right time, and we've been here for the worship, and God has been ministering already, but I just really feel like there's something new that God wants to release, that he's releasing to us. And I just thank God for Don. Thank you for coming up, Mr. Norrie. I'm going to just make a couple of little announcements, and then I'm going to go ahead and have you come up. But I do want to say this. You might have seen this in the back here. But there's some flyers back there. And so August 31st through September 2nd, Chuck Pierce is going to be with us, Dutch Sheets and Tim Sheets. And so it's so what the name of this conference is, or what we like to call a gathering, is Arise and Advance, Alaska. Possess your inheritance. This is a time when we're advancing forward, and we're going right into what he has for us, right into his purposes and his destinies for us. And so throughout the summer, this is going to be one of our last meetings this summer, because we follow the seasons in Alaska. So many of you are like fish. You're going to swim down to the fishing holes and you're going to go out picking berries and things like that. It's a part of our culture here in Alaska. And that's okay. It's a culture that the Lord has given us. So it'll be August 2nd, I think, that weekend of August 2nd for our next gathering. But in the meantime, we're still going to be planning on this major conference. And all of that costs money, to airplane tickets and all that. So as you're thinking about it, we just appreciate you sowing into that, because you are our core group. You're the ones that come and worship with us, and we're going to do this together. We're going to bring these people up together, and we just appreciate that. So as you consider that, you can sow into the baskets here. As far as our guest speaker, we want to sow into him as well. And we also bless our ministers that worship minister in the worship. Don Norrie, along with his wife Kathy, founded Destiny Image Publishers back in 1983. And during the past 27 years, they have rejoiced and cried and grown together as God fulfilled their calling, the calling in their lives. And we're going to hear a lot about that. They have five sons that work at Destiny Image, along with 40 other employees and countless writers, editors, artists, salespeople, and authors. Don works exclusively with new authors and content development, and he has written 14 books and ministers worldwide. Kathy currently raises and trains Tennessee walking horses, wow, and travels with Don, and their five grandchildren are their pride and joy. And I was just looking at some of the names of your books, and I really like this one. It says Manifest Presence. Man, that's what I was feeling here tonight. It was Manifest Presence. And so he's got many books back there on the table. And after the service, they'll be for sale back there. Is there anyone that's looking for the Lord, looking for God? This is called The God Watchers. And definitely something that's dear to my heart is a supernatural destiny, that each one of us has a destiny in him. And this seems like what happened tonight. Romancing the Divine, a story about true love. And that's what I was really feeling in the spirit tonight, that prophetic place. So, our friend Steve, he came to us and said, "Hey, I have this friend. His name is Don Norrie, and he's coming up to visit and write his books. And so Steve said, hey, would you like him to speak at KN? And we said, yes, we would love for Don to come and speak here. So thank you so much, Steve, for bringing Don up and for being our communication link to Don. Don, I just want to say, come and just release what God has given to you for us this evening.
Thank you so much. The beginning of the meeting, in your prayer time intercession, Eleanor, you said, we aren't a church, but. And I heard in my spirit, you aren't a church, you are the church that Jesus is building. Two different churches. So I don't know if that gets anybody in trouble, but I just want to tell you what I know you are. I don't know where you got that biography, but I need to do some research because many things have happened. That said 27 years, it's now been 34 years. And instead of five grandsons, there's five grandchildren. There are seven grandchildren. Instead of 14 books, there are 20 books. But Kathy is still my flame. She's still my love. So I come up here with a real burden on my heart that I am carrying these days. I want to start by telling you a story about a young man, a 14-year-old, who he's a local Mennonite boy who we call our barn boy. He puts 4 or 5 hours a week in. He helps Kathy with the barn, does chores around the house. One day, I needed something out of the back garage. And I said, Jaden, go back to the... And now, let me tell you about Jaden. He is energetic. He loves life. He wants to please. He wants to do everything fast. And he wants everything done yesterday, which in general is a good thing, except when you do things so fast that you break things or you skip things or you mess things up. But his heart is in the right place. His heart is right. How many of you know you can work somebody with a good heart? You know, if somebody's got a good heart, they can be trained. Somebody who is belligerent, pushing, you can't work with them. We've had barn boys like that. In fact, we just fired one a few months ago. But so anyway, I needed something out of the garage, and I said, Jaden, come up here. So he came up, and I said, Jaden, I need you to go to the garage. I need, okay, I'll be back. I said, Jaden, wait. What am I going to go get? I said, what are you going to get? He says, oh, okay. And I said, there's an aluminum, okay, I'll get it. Jaden, come back here. It's an aluminum step. I'll get it, I know. So he goes running off to the garage. I'm sitting up in the porch, and I'm thinking, I'll bet anybody $100 he comes back with nothing. So he comes up, and he says, Don, it's not there. I said, okay. I took him by the arms, and I said, Jaden, look into my eyes. And I explained very slowly and carefully what I needed from him. He went down to the garage and brought it right back up. How many of you know, no matter how enthusiastic you are, if you don't know what you're looking for, you will never find it. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody's waiting for the next move of God. What's your destiny? I'm going to do the will of God. Okay, what is it? Well, I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. Well, that's awesome. What is it? Do you understand? We have a church full of Jadens. Their hearts are in the right place. Their desires are right. Their passions are right. But they don't know what the heck they're looking for. You call the prayer and they'll come and they'll pray 48 hours straight. We're going to watch and pray. What are you watching for? What are you expecting? Well, we're watching. It's a good old Pentecostal term, watch and pray. Am I right? All right, now, you get that little story, set it here, we're coming back to it, okay? when Kathy and I started Destiny Image, and after many extremely lean, extremely difficult years, we began to blossom. We built a building. And when I built the building, I made my office, it was 32 feet by 32 feet, because there we had little boys. So I had a playroom in there for them, had a TV room, a kitchen, a bathroom, and right in the middle of the toys was the big board of directors table where everybody came and talked and met authors and picked out books. And so anyway, the boys grew up in the building with us, homeschooled there, as a matter of fact. So years passed. My namesake, Don Jr., 16 years old, one day was out of the building when a new author came in. And my job was to give new authors a tour and to try to, really check their spirit, find out what they wanted, what they were all about. Because how many of you know you don't, everybody that comes in the door is not somebody that's going to be a blessing. We've had a guy come in and said, God told me that if you will print 1 million books, you will sell them all. God told me that. I know it's true. God said it. You'll be a millionaire. Just print 1 million books by faith. And I said, well, I don't have the money for that. Mortgage your house. I already have 3 mortgages on my house. Mortgage that building. Already got 2 on the building. Well, you're going to miss God. And I said, well, I got an idea. Why don't you mortgage your house? And you print 1 million copies of the book. Anyway, those are the kinds of people that come in the building. So I'm giving this author a tour. We're all done. We come downstairs in the main lobby, and my son walks in. Now, they don't know each other. And so my son walks in and does what he does. He walks up to the author. Hi, I'm Don. Welcome to Destiny Image. And this man said, oh, Don, thank you. He says, that's sort of amazing. You guys have the same name. And my son, who didn't know that he didn't know him, said, yeah, okay. And so he says to my son, do you work here? Right there. Boom. So from the time they were 7 years old, they worked there. They shoveled snow. They swept the driveway. They cleaned the bathrooms. They counted books. When they were 14, their first professional job was desk receptionist, answering the phone. So they were groomed in the business from the time they were little. So this the man says to my son, do you work here? And my son looks at me and looks back at him and says, I do. And he says, well, what's your job? Where's your office? And my son's just looking a little perplexed, a little confused. And the guy says, well, do you work here or don't you? You sound like you don't know. And my son looked at him and looked at me and he said, I'm the son. I do whatever my father tells me to do. Amen. Well, where's your office? Whoever he tells me it is. That's what I... Well, are you a marketing man? Do you do acquisitions? What's your job? Do you have a bean counter? And my son says, I'm a son. Of all the offices in the building, the only one that mattered to him was, I'm a son. I'm a son. I do whatever Dad tells me to do. Monday, I can go in and help him pack books. Tuesday, I can help him count beans. Wednesday, when he was just turned 16, I made him in charge of collections. We had bookstores that owed way more than they should for way longer time. And my son says, I'll get on the phone and collect the money for you. I said, you got to be sweet. We still want them to be customers. So 45 days later, we had 90% of the money in with reorders from all of them. He's a son. He's a son. So it doesn't matter whether he works in the accounting office. He's not an accountant. He's a son. He can do accounting, but he's a son. He can market, but he's not a marketing man. He's a son. He can pick good books, but he's not a publisher. He's a son. He can run behind the office, but he's not an office manager. He's a son. A son transcends the work of the house. Don't throw nothing at me. A son transcends the work of the house. I'll tell you what, if you're looking for a title, you're looking for the wrong thing. If you're looking for a ministry, if you're looking for your gifts, you're looking for your place, you're struggling, you're looking, what is my job, what is my title, what is my name, what is my destiny? None of that matters. What matters is a heart that's full bore straight on after Jesus the King. That is the call of the believer. They said to me, oh, you're just a prophet. I said, no, I'm a son. Well, don't you prophesy? Well, sure. Do you move in the office of a prophet? Sure. Well, then you're a prophet. No, I'm a son. See, a son can do anything the father tells him to do. He can move in any room of the house, and he prospers. And he does it right. Why? Because he is a son. I want you to know something. God is calling sons into perfection. He's calling forth sons who are not going to need or want any other identification on the planet but the fact that they are sons. Now, I assume, because nobody's thrown anything at me yet, that you understand that sonship is an office, not a gender. So women are also sons of God. And if you're a women's liber and you still want to be called a woman, that's a woman when it comes to spiritual things, that's fine. You'll still go to heaven. But guess what? You're going to miss your inheritance because only sons inherit the promises of God. You, young lady, are a son. But that's okay. I'm a bride. And you'll look better in a pair of blue jeans than I'll look in a wedding gown. You understand what I'm saying? He is calling sons into perfection. He's calling those men and women who are going to be willing to lay down their lives to take up the rule and the reign of the King within them. I have my latest book out there. It's called The Forgotten Mountain. And I was inspired to write it by, we know the presidential candidate currently for the Congo is a spirit-filled believer. Ambassador to Burundi is a spirit-filled believer. And we know lots of people in Africa. We're with them all the time. And they say the Seven Mountains mandate has failed. We know it's real popular in America and everybody loves it, but it's failed. Why does it fail? And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, why does it fail? And I heard in my spirit, because you have forgotten a mountain. Where it got quiet in here pretty quick. Micah says, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall become the chief of the mountains, and the nations will run to it. And this mountain will be raised above the hills. See, in the scriptures, mountains are points of authority. And hills are points of lesser authority. So Micah and then Isaiah also saw the same thing. That the mountain of the Lord, the authority of the Lord, will be the chief authority. In the last days, the authority of the Lord is going to be the chief authority in the land. If the authority, and you know where that authority, where is that authority anyway? Where is the authority? Is it in church? Is it in Washington?
God forbid.
Where is the authority of the house of? It's within. See, the kingdom is only out here if it's in here. The kingdom doesn't advance unless I do something really critical called repent. You can't advance the kingdom by worship. Because that's not how the kingdom advances. The kingdom advances through repentance. The kingdom advances whenever I surrender my life to the king. The more territory I surrender to him, the more territory he has. That's how the kingdom advances. I can't intercede my way. The kingdom isn't advanced through intercession. You can't decree the kingdom. I decree the kingdom in this town. All right, how about you do this? Shut up. And how about decreeing the kingdom in here by repenting and demonstrating the kingdom, and then the kingdom will have a foothold in the town. But until somebody repents, until somebody changes their heart, until somebody surrenders, the kingdom of God is not advanced, because the kingdom is advanced in you. And the kingdom is advanced in me. That's what changes the world. So we have this thing called sonship. And some of you may have read about, heard about, be a part of this thing back in the 50s and the 60s called the Manifest Sons Movement. Anybody familiar with that? Well, that movement ended up falling flat on its face. And I'm going to tell you why that happened. It's because they were prodigal sons. And I'm going to tell you why they were prodigal sons. Let's talk about the prodigal son. Prodigal son was a guy who had, he knew he was a son, didn't he? He knew he was a son. Thank you. Appreciate it. You want a side shot? You guys, me drinking my water. The worship, by the way, was broadcast all over the world. 400 people watched it. Sorry? The worship was all over the world for you guys that were leading worship. It was pretty cool. Dubai, there were people in Dubai watching. They thanked me. There's such dearth and dryness in Dubai. And they were so thrilled to be part of your worship tonight. It was pretty awesome. So this also is being broadcast. So let's talk about the prodigal son for a minute. Prodigal son knew he was a son. Is that right? Prodigal son. He went to his papa and he said, I want my inheritance. If I'm truly your son, give me what's mine. I claim it. I decree it. I demand it. Give me what's mine. Father said, okay. So he took his inheritance, went out, and he squandered it, didn't he? You know what happened in the pigsty? He grew from an immature son to a mature son. He went to his father as an immature son saying, give me what's mine. And he ended up going back to his father saying, take me, I'm yours. So the heart and soul of being a son of God is not what's mine. Healing's mine. Sure it is. All my problems are in his hands. Sure they are. He says he'll clothe me. Sure he will. He'll do all those things. But that's not why he's my dad. I don't have to go to him. My sons, in all their years, never had to come and claim dinner. I never had to call my wife and say, Kathy, I just decree you're going to have dinner on the table tonight. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Amen. She says, what the heck's wrong with him? Since when don't I take care of him? Since when has he missed a meal? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we approach, and this is charismatica in general, and don't throw nothing at me. But like I say everywhere, if you feel the need to throw something at me, make it an iPhone 7, okay? I don't give back what's thrown at me. So if you're going to throw something at me, make it an iPhone 7. Charismatica is the heart and soul of the prodigal son. Pentecost is the manifest prodigal son. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need, I want. I claim, I'll worship for this. I'll give you this, God, if you give me that. We barter with him, we trade with him, we buy and sell with him like he is a cheap merchant, like he is a crier on the side of the road selling chickens. Instead of understanding he is our Father. And we are his sons. I'm going to lay that aside because that's tomorrow night. We're going to walk from Egypt to the wilderness to the promised land. And we're going to talk about the priesthoods. And we're going to talk about how we grow up in him. That's tomorrow night. But tonight I'm going to talk about sonship and what it means to be a son. A son, do you know that a prodigal son will never change the world? A prodigal son that spends his life, gimme, 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 I need, I want. What the heck are they going to change? They can't even change their socks. They're not going to change anything because they're needy. Needy people don't conquer the world. Needy people don't conquer the world. Sons, mature sons, conquer the world. Mature sons get out there and do the will of God. You know, the wilderness was the worst first failed welfare state. In the wilderness, they got everything they needed. And they never entered the presence of God. They never entered their destiny. I call it the first failed welfare state. The more you give people, the more they argue and fuss and complain, and they never come into their purpose. They never come into their plan. Christians spend most of their life trying to get in trouble without realizing that God sent a trouble so you would get he could get your attention and teach you how to work it out. Somehow we got the idea that the Christian life is a blissful experience of joy, love, daisies, flowers, pixie dust, gold teeth, and feathers. And guess what? It's not. Our life as believers are intended to be an ever-growing, ever-becoming, ever-maturing, ever-strengthening, becoming more compassionate, more loving, more healing, more powerful in the attributes of the king than anybody ever thought possible. And in the process of all this, sons know that their role is to surrender so that the Father can live his life through them. I threw away the wristband that said, "What would Jesus do?" I threw that away because I can't figure out what Jesus would do. I need to shut up and let him do his work through me. As soon as I try to figure it out, I mess it up. I need to surrender. My goal is to lead a life that is surrendered to him. My goal is to live a life that is clear of the noise of this world, whether that noise is the news, which for some it is, whether it's radio, even talk radio, or whether it's worship. You know, worship can be noise if God's trying to talk to you. Don't throw nothing at me. I love the worship, but there are times when you just need silence. See, the purposes of God are locked in spirit. They're locked in spirit. How are they going to come into time and space? They come into time and space when folks like you and I have the courage to hear what no one else is hearing, so they can do what no one else is doing. Do you know, we are in a sojourn. We're walking someplace. We're going somewhere. You know that if the scenery doesn't change, you're not going anywhere? Is that deep? Doesn't sound very deep to me. If that Whataburger is still there and you say you've been on the road for 2 hours, you haven't gone anywhere. You're still at the same place. See, when you move, your conversation changes. Your vision changes. Things that happen to you, there are new experiences all the time. We are in an ever-growing, ever-expanding understanding of who we are. So when I started seeing this stuff on sonship, everything changed for me. I started to understand that I am not at the mercy of this world or its systems. I'm not even at the mercy of the devil, because that old fart can't even do anything unless God tells him to. So I don't need to talk to him. I don't need to focus on him. I don't need to write books about him. I need to focus myself 100% in the hot pursuit of my King. And I see the world around me change. So I step from one degree of glory to the next. Well, worship was great tonight. We went from one degree of glory to the next. No, you didn't. You might have experienced more of his presence, but if you repented, you went to another stage of glory. If you listened to what God was saying to you and he adjusted your thoughts, do you know how you can tell when God's talking to you? When you find yourself arguing with something that's floating in your mind. When you find yourself arguing with yourself, you're normally arguing with God. And like me, I always won those arguments, because I never went anywhere. I never changed. I stayed exactly who I was, day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out. And then I saw, I'm the son. I do whatever Dad tells me to do. I'm the son. And all of a sudden I realize that my responsibility as a son than what I can get from my father, but it was what I can give to my father. And the greatest thing my father could call me was a son. Not apostle, prophet, Sunday school teacher, doctor, lawyer, candlestick maker. The most important thing I can hear, my title is a son. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Because here's what I discovered. We all know the church is in the holy place, right? That's what all the candlesticks are for. That was a great teaching for many years. The problem is, if everybody that taught it really believes it, then there's no church in the most holy place. Do you know who's in the most holy place? Sons. Melchizedek is in the most holy place. There's no trappings. There's no candlesticks. There's no bread. There's no oil. There's nothing between you and God. There's nothing between you and the pulsating, vibrating light of his presence that stands before you. Nothing that stands before that. And then what you begin to understand, why is this light always following me? Why is this light? Everywhere I go, this light's always here. Well, it's because the light is in you. It's because you are the most holy place. You are a son of God. You carry the very light and power of his presence in your life and in your heart. And you have no need, oh my God, for any man to teach you. I didn't say it. But the presence that dwells in you will teach you and lead you into all truth. There's a big caveat to that. He was writing to mature sons. He was not talking to babes. He was not talking to prodigal sons who were just still yammering and yelling and begging for stuff from God without under. That, you saw how fast I caught that. That was good. So sons that are mature sons are the sons that are hearing from the Father. The light of the presence of the glory of God is within you. It is his presence that flows out of you. You know what my biggest consternation is? And it's the thing that, if there's anything that keeps me awake at night, and there's precious little that does anymore, I don't ever want to be a misrepresentation of my King. I don't want people to look at me and then walk away saying, boy, if that's what his God's like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. No. No. So I understand that to be on the cutting edge of God's plan, do you know what I need to do? I need to do exactly what he tells me to do. I don't know what time I started. What time did I start? I started at 8:30. I couldn't have been because that means I've only been talking 15 minutes. Okay. So I got, you said midnight? Is that right? What was I just saying before? What was I just saying? Yeah, but I said something after that, young lady. Thank you. That's right. You said what? How long? What? You're messing with me. See, our sonship is now our identity. This is who we've become. I found something out about Destiny Image. We had an office manager. We had a production manager. We had five or six important positions in the building that were running the business. But the sons answered to Papa. The sons answered to me. I've been in business 35 years, and some of you may be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like very good business practice. People don't have any authority. Don't have any blah, blah, blah. If these people know what they're supposed to do, they just do it. And if the sons are mature sons, they know how to treat people. They know how to be loved. They know how to be respectful. They know how to walk in truth. They know how to walk in love. When our sons came into the business, when Destiny Image started, another company started a couple hours away in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, called Danskin. Some of you may remember Danskin. It was a female, like leotards, tights. They were very popular. I mean, they were like big, big shots. And they were in Lancaster. We were using the same printing company for books and for their promotional material. We had two sons. I had five. My sons grew up across my desk, across Kathy's desk. We raised them in the business. We taught them. We trained them. They went to school with us. Send his kids to boarding school. Sent them to the best colleges, the best universities. When their kids were 22, he turned the business over to them. We turned our business over to our kids. And in 4 years, Destiny Image grew 400%. In 3 months, Danskin was out of business. He had sons, but they were prodigal sons. Came out that they just drained the till. Just drained the till. Worked through the week and on weekends. They were taking private planes to Aspen. They were just taking the money, taking the money. They were just, what was theirs? It was their inheritance. But they were prodigals. They lived a lifestyle of give me, give me, give me. And never understood what it meant to be a mature son. The leadership in that company hated them. Within the first few weeks, people that had been with them for 20 years were leaving. finding someplace else to work, they could see the handwriting on the wall. Our boys took over and everybody was relieved. Thank God. It's going to keep going. The same attitude, the same heart, everything is going to stay the same because the sons are now in the building. The sons are in the building. Can you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? He is looking for sons. The heart of the Father, the Spirit of the Lord is going to and fro across the land, and he's looking for authentic sons, those with broken hearts, those who have lived with brokenness, those who understand how to live in what I call broken repentance. They wake up and they know his mercies are new every morning. They know who they need. They know they need their Lord. And when they sin, they don't make excuses. You know, sure, the Bible says 70 times 7, but what happens whenever you have to ask forgiveness 1,000 times, 2,000 times? Do you know what happens? Most people break open the Bible or break open a psychology book and decide, that wasn't a sin after all. See, we create, we're going to talk about this tomorrow night, we create doctrines of the wilderness. They're doctrines that make it okay to live short of the glory of God. So here's what happens. So we have a sin we can't seem to get over, and we run out of humility. And we just can't bring ourselves to God that 1,001 time and say, I screwed up, I am sorry. Forgive me. And so we cover it. We make an excuse. We develop a doctrine so that we don't have to change, so that we don't have to deal with the guilt, so we don't have to deal with the struggle. And what happens is that sin becomes like an anchor that pulls our souls into the realm of flesh. And then you can't begin, you can't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. Then you lose your discernment, and you end up like so many people who, from prophetic meeting to prophetic meeting, they need apostles and prophets. They need all these people. That's a holy place experience. It's not a most holy place experience. There is a place of strength. There is a place of wholeness. There is a place of God-breathed power and compassion, whenever you can look in the mirror for the 1,001th time and say, it is me, Lord. It is me, Lord, in the need of prayer. I have failed. I have sinned. I have messed up. We don't have, his grace doesn't run out. His love doesn't run out. I mean, we have five sons, and I'll tell you what, they've gotten themselves into some pretty bad pickles. They came running home from those pickles, and they knew right who to hug and hold on to. You know what happened? Their spirit bears witness with us that I am, that they were my sons. Spirit to spirit witness doesn't happen in the Bible study. It's not a doctrine. It's a reality. Whenever you screw up, whenever you get hurt, when there's failure, when there's struggle, and you run into the arms of God and he embraces you with himself, and then your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you are a son. This is not a doctrine, it's a reality. When the authentic sons of God emerge in the earth, you'll see transformation of the earth. God will have an authentic witness of his love and mercy and compassion when the sons come forth. And these sons are painfully honest with themselves. They're painfully honest with God. They don't run from people. They don't run from their sin. They don't make excuses. It's not the president's fault. It's not Congress's fault. It's not my spouse's fault. It's not the dog's fault. It's not Obama's fault. Well, it might be Obama's. No, I'm just totally joking. I'm totally joking. At the end of the day, it is me. I am the one at fault. I'm the one that needs to be transformed. And in this whole election cycle, everybody kept asking me, who are you rooting for? Who do you want to win? I said, from a spiritual perspective, no matter who wins, you still need to be transformed. Whether your favorite one's in the office, if your favorite one's in the office, you're going to have a hard time being transformed because you're going to expect your president to do what you should be doing. At the end of the day, trickle down economics might work, but there's no such thing as trickle down righteousness. It starts in the soul and pours out to the world around us. Do you understand what I'm saying? No matter who wins the White House, who's in there, it doesn't matter. I have to surrender. Authentically surrender every day. And if I do that, the world around me changes. And if I do that, I respond to God, then I'm on the cutting edge. How many of you heard these yahoos on TV saying, you want to be on the cutting edge of what God's doing? Write me a check. Join my organization. Send me, just write down right now and send me $1,000 right now. Amen. I could do that, couldn't I? Just do it right now. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. At the end of the day, God's cutting edge is a serrated edge. There are many cutting edges. If you are doing what God is calling you to do, you are on the cutting edge. It doesn't matter what's happening anywhere else in the world. If you are surrendering and doing what God is telling you to do in your home, you're on the cutting edge. In your neighborhood, in your city, where you work, if you are doing what God tells you to do, you're on the cutting edge. Because it's the cutting edge that separates soul from spirit. It's the cutting edge that separates the things of the natural from the things of the spirit. It is this knowledge that I am surrendering and I am listening to God in spirit that allows me to hear things in the spirit that are outrageous. Just outrageous. And I hear outrageous things. I used to say to God, I used to hear things, I said, that's outrageous. Until one day God spoke to me and said, sometimes the outrageous is my voice. And I began to realize that 99.999% of my life is spent in a box of religious acceptability. Now, charismatics think they're free, but your box is just a little bigger. Pentecostals think they're free. Their box might be a little bigger. I can remember once I was meeting with an author. He wasn't sure whether he wanted to publish with me after we talked a little bit. He said, Don, you don't like to color inside the lines too much, do you? I looked at him and I said, what? There are lines? See, these artificial boundaries of flesh just simply keep us under control. But somewhere there are a people who are going to have the courage to surrender to their king. They are going to have this courage to stop fighting, stop chasing. I can remember years that we'd go to these booksellers' convention and the publishers would be elbowing and pushing and kicking and trying to get, Christian publishing is the most cutthroat thing you ever saw in your life. And we're there, oh my goodness. And my then 5-year-old son, Matthew, I was in this group. We were trying to get this guy's attention. My 5-year-old son pushes me out. He looked up at me. He said, Dad, if Jesus wants us to have that, let's just trust him. 5 years old. I said, yes, sir. He said, what do you want to do? And I said, let's go swimming. So of this big meeting, this big convention, he and I went swimming. 2 hours later, I went back to the office of the convention coordinator. Everybody's gone. The guy looks up at me and says, Norai. He said, I was looking all over for you. And I said, well, it seemed like you had enough of admirers. You didn't need one more. He said, well, that's pretty harsh. And I said, well, I said, it's true, though, isn't it? He said, well, I didn't say it wasn't true. I just said it was harsh. So he said, anyway, here's where you're assigned to set up your booth. And we got the premier spot in the place without any pushing, without, but the whole life of publishing is like that. Everybody, nobody's high enough. Nobody's strong enough. Nobody's popular enough. Nobody's big enough. Unless we sit there and unless we shake our head at those people too hard, most believers are in the same place. I don't get enough recognition. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. They don't see my gift. What is this? Blah, 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 blah. If we spent less time complaining and more time doing, more time being who we believe we are, God would recognize it. And guess what? He's the only one who needs to see it. I had many opportunities where authors would come in. I'd reject their books. They were no good. Fleshy, self-centered books. I wouldn't publish them. One guy came in. Slipped me $5,000. He said, this is just for you. Nobody will know. And I said, somebody already knows. Do you understand what I'm saying? The opportunities to do the wrong thing to get to the place where you want to be are all over the place. But sons say, if promotion comes, it's going to be because he promotes me. After 19, I've been in this almost 50 years. You've been looking at me for 44 years. Wow. She needs the mercy of God. But after all these years, do you know what I've learned? I don't want to be where I'm not supposed to be. I don't want to push myself forward where I'm not supposed to be. Psalmist says he didn't want to do anything that was more wonderful for him. He didn't want to do anything that was ahead of schedule, something that was ahead of. Flesh does that. Flesh pushes. Flesh connives. Flesh tries to make you do things to get ahead because flesh doesn't want to wait for God. Because you know what God's going to do? Kill it. So our fleshly self is a lifestyle of broken repentance. Where every day I say, yep, Lord, it's me again. Yep, 3,891 times. I'm sorry, I don't want to do it again. I failed you, but your love never fails. Thank you. And I go on. How many of you know that when you have a good hard look at yourself in the mirror, it's hard to be a slanderer or a gossip? You know, a gossiper, there's somebody who has never seen themselves apart from Christ. You want to know a slanderer? You want to know who busybody is? These are people who have absolutely never seen themselves apart from Jesus. Because once you begin to see yourself, you begin to say, oh my. And it humbles you and it quiets you down. And you begin to say, Lord, I'm not even sure I want a promotion. I'm not even sure I want to go here. I'm not even sure I want to do this. Am I talking to anybody? Can you hear what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I'll tell you, Jesus will pick you up and take you right where he wants you to go if you'll stop running on your own long enough for him to catch up to where you are. He sees what we don't see. His plans are things that we don't know, and we need to learn to rest in Him. I'll tell you, I know what it's like. These books that I've written, they were done, many of them, years and years ago. And we've published thousands of books. And I'd say, Lord, this year, can I publish them this year? God would say, no. No. Lord, I got these invitations. I guess, no, you can't. Build a house. Build a house. Build a house. But God, look what you got. Shut up. Build a house. Shut up. Build a house. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, the most thrilling, powerful, exciting, awesome place to be is in the center of His will, even if it's not in the center of your will. Are we on the same page? Are we? So I entrust this word to your hearts today, that the spirit of a son will arise. You're all sons, whether you're prodigals or mature, whether you're 2, 20, or 40 years old. You're all sons. Wow, on the other hand, 40 years doesn't count too much. I know a lot of prodigals who are 40 years old. I said, don't throw nothing at me, right? God help us. Unless it's an iPhone 7. God help us yield so that the earth will have an authentic witness of the sons of God in our lifetime. I am not interested in what happens after I drop dead. That's somebody else's problem. And I'm not leaving anything for another generation. I'm sorry, they're going to have to plow their own fields. There's a whole lot more to God than what I know. So I don't have to leave anything for anybody. Everything He said to me, everything He's done to me, in me, through me, and for me, I'm going to declare it. That by some means, those who are His sons can rise up and become who they really are. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Mr. Norai. Earlier, at the tail end of worship, as Doug was playing his flute, I kept hearing, "And it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We don't have to scratch for it or kick or fight or connive or manipulate, or anything but just die and yield and surrender. And believe me, there's been a whole lot of dying going on in me. And I can only do what I do by the grace of God, and yet I still need more of His grace to do what He's called me to do and to be. And so I know you started going there a little bit there at the tail end. But I just felt like, you know, even with the words that came tonight about God is healing our hearts from father issues, natural and spiritual. I mean, who hasn't had a father issue, right? Both naturally and spiritually. I just feel like you are a father in the kingdom. You are a father in the kingdom, not only in your own household, but in the household of God. And I would like to ask if you would release a father's blessing over us tonight. and Robert will finish up. You can sit. You can stay seated.
I can't sit.
Really? Okay. Can you help him up?
Oh, my goodness. Go on.
Help him up.
He needs to go with me everywhere. I cannot give you what God has already given you. I hear in my spirit. I really do hear in my spirit that He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. And that over the next few days, if you will quiet your soul, you will discover the true Father heart of God for you as an individual. I see Him with His hand on each one of you, drawing you to Himself, because you are of the begotten of the Father. You are His, not just children, His sons. I bless you with the revelation of that. I bless you with the circumstances. I bless you with the situation. I bless you with the wisdom to discover the Father heart of God towards you, His son.